こんにちは。
こんにちは。
バイリンガルニュースでは日本語と英語でニュースを紹介しています。その後にマイケルは英語で、私は日本語でバイリンガル会話形式でコメントしていきます。1個目、昨年10月に私たちの太陽系の外からやってきて太陽の近くを通過する様子が確認され、オームアムアと名付けられた謎の物体が宇宙船の帆である可能性があると、ハーバード・スミソニアン天体物理学センターの研究チームが発表しました。オームアムアは長さ400メートル、幅40メートルで縦長の形状であると推定され、これまでに宇宙でこうした形の物体を確認した例はありません。これまでオームアムアの正体については、重力によるものではない加速をする様子が見られたことから、ガス放出がある彗星なのではと言われていました。今回の論文では、尾がないため彗星であるとは考えにくいほか、仮にガス放出したとすれば、回転周期が変化したはずだが、その様子はないと指摘しています。そこで、太陽光が原因で加速したと仮定し計算したところ、0.3 から 0.9 ミリの薄さであれば、太陽輻射圧で加速できることが分かったため、ソーラーセールである可能性があるとしています。
In October of last year, a mysterious extrasolar object named Oumuamua passed through our solar system. According to a study by Harvard University, it is possible that the object is an extraterrestrial spacecraft equipped with a solar sail. Oumuamua is 400 meters long and 40 meters wide.A unique oblong shape unlike any other cosmic object seen before. Also, the object has exhibited non-gravitational acceleration, which suggests comet outgassing. However, the Harvard researchers point out that the lack of an observable tail and the fact that its rate of rotation has not changed cast doubt on that theory. Alternatively, they suggest that if Oumuamua were a functional solar sail just 0.3 to 0.9 millimeters thick, the observed acceleration could have been achieved that way.
そう、面白くなってきました。エピソード292でオームアムアが発見されましたっていう話を去年したんだけど、最初は彗星だろうって言われていて、ただこの論文でも言ってるように尾がないのでじゃあ小惑星かもしれない、ってなってそしたら加速が見られたからあやっぱ違うじゃあ彗星なのかなっていう感じになってたんだけど、まあ、今回の論文ではそれも違うだろうっていうで実際の論文はそんなにこう、うわ宇宙船宇宙船宇宙人みたいなとんでもな感じでは全くなくて単純にソーラーセールである可能性を粛々と探ってるみたいな感じなんだよね。ただこれもちろんいや違うだろうって言ってる専門家といやそこまで突飛なことを言ってるわけでもないって言ってる専門家がいる。
There was a lot of excitement about this object from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And it's weird that it's gotten this much more interesting. Usually things like this get less interesting over time.
そう。で、これはただあんまり長い間観察できなかったんだよね。なのでよりスペキュレーションの幅があって、まあこういう説もできちゃうぐらいの。だから謎はすごく多いんだよね。
This detail aboutits rate of rotation being unchanged despite its acceleration. There's almost no way to explain that. Because if it were comet outgassing, wouldn't that change the rate of rotation?
あ、そうそうそう。
Unless, I mean,
で、それって結構簡単にアイデンティファイできるものなんだって。だからそれが見られないっていうことは、まあ、ガス放出ではないかもしれないねっていう話でもしソーラーセールだったとしてもそれがじゃあデブリなのか実際活動中のものなのかそれもわからないねって論文では書いてるただトロント大学の人がいや違うだろうって言っててそれも結構細かい反論をしてた彼は、
What was their angle?
なんかソーラーセールって一旦 なんていうの、インターステラーから出ちゃったらもう使わなくていいから普通はしまうだろうみたいな、うん、でその場合でもししまわなかったとしても、まあ、しまったとしてもしまわなかったとしても塵のつき方がもうちょっと違う風になるはずとか、回転の仕方がオーマームアってすごいなんか複雑に回転してるらしいんだけど、ソーラーセールだったらもっとスムーズに進むはずだから、うん、とかなんかいろいろ挙げてた。ただマックスプランクの人はいやでもありえなくはないって言ってた。
Well, if they were aliens, I feel like they'd have a better mode of transportation or accelerating at least than a solar sail. I mean, it's hard to assume anything about what an alien would do.
So, so.
You know? At this, no one's really calling it a UFO, but isn't it a UFO?
Or part of it, at least.
Well, it's unidentified.It's flying through space, and it's an object.
Yeah.
It's not any...
Is it flying?
The
Is
F?
Is it flying? No, this... Oumuamua.
Flying through space. What else do you call it?
I don't know.
Moving? It's moving? Unidentified moving object?
UMO.
Everything's moving. No?
面白いよね。で、Oumuamua は、あ、でもね、謎なのがさ、オームアームアって検索すると、大体まあみんな見たことある画像、あの、イメージ画像でさ、黒いやつじゃん。でも、
That's just an artist's impression or something, right?
そう。でも色は暗い赤色なんだよね。前うちの番組で話した時も赤いっていうのは言ったんだけど、ただ出てくるイメージ画像は全部黒になってるから、それがちょっと個人的に謎なんだけど。
We don't know what its surface is like either, right? Because that picture kind of has this rocky, bumpy
surface, right?
But it could be perfectly smooth. We don't really know, right?
わかんないし、なんでわかったかっていうと、単純に光が見えてるっていうだけだから、当然その表面とかが見えたわけではない。っていう。だからまあ、
本当に謎。And they said it had like carbon on it?
うん、で時速196,000キロの速さで移動してる。
You know,
移動してた。
The weirdest, actually, the more I think about this, the weirdest part about it, I might have said this when we talked about this before, but its shape is the weirdest thing.
そうなの。
Wouldn't something hit it? Or it would hit something. I mean, it's had quite some time, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would hit something and snap. Like, how does it become this?Long oblong shape in the first place. How does it like you don't walk around and find a rock shape like that, do you? I mean, how do you get to that cigar shape?
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine rocks like colliding out in space and just some fragment comes out of it that's like this?
そうなの。
It would have to be like a shard or something, right? There would have to be some lines of breakage.
そう。まあこういう形のものが見つかったことがないし、そもそも私たちの太陽系の外から確実にやってきたねっていう物体をこうやって確認すること自体が初めてだから、まあなんていうの、謎まみれ。
What was the name about? What was the deal with this name?
わかんない。なんだろう。
Because it is a, it's kind of a weird name to, for a...
オームアムアは、あ、ハワイの言葉で、スカウトっていう意味だって。
Oh, so it is an alien craft.
Reflects the way this object is like a scout or a messenger sent from the distant past to reach out to humanity.、
Hmm.
名前はだから結構本当にそれこそロマンチックだね。
What if it is a message from other people and they, you know, they were about to go extinct, you know, they were about to be destroyed by a giant asteroid and they got one message out and they aimed it at the Milky Way, you know, and it finally gets here a billion years later.We're like, what's that weird looking rock? Oh well. And it just, you know.
失敗した。
Yeah. Like that could happen, right?
Yeah. So, でもこの研究チームの人の、なんて言うんだろうね。 スタンスはすごい面白いなと思った、うん、それそのなんていうの、あ、これは宇宙人の宇宙船ですってこうすごいセンセーショナライズするわけでもなく、あの、まあ、そういう可能性がある。でそれはこう笑ってバカにするべきことでもないし、うん、っていう、あの、オープンマインデッドでいるべきですっていう感じの。
It's important for us to be open-minded. Otherwise, we will miss it. You know, there are things that we have probably missed.
Yeah.
Like, there have probably been interesting things that have passed through our solar system that we missed because we weren't ready or we weren't thinking about it. Or, you know, we have some pompous scientist who's like, it's just a rock.
So, just
stop
so,
getting so,
so
excited. Maybe, ね、maybe. But if there's a 1 in 1,000th chance that it's not just a rock, should check that thing out.
そうなの。だから夢があるよね。
うん。
次。他人と会話をした後にすぐに内容を忘れてしまう場合と何年も覚えている場合がありますが、テキサス大学の研究でその違いの要因の一つが話し方であることが分かりました。実験では男の子が重い椅子を運びましたなど72個の英語の文章を用意し、ゆっくりはっきり正確に読む場合と普通の会話のように早くカジュアルに読む場合の2パターンを被験者に聞かせました。その後男の子など単語のヒントから覚えていることを書き出してもらいました。すると英語が母国語の人もそうでない人もゆっくりはっきり読まれた文章をより正確に覚えていました。研究チームは速いスピードで話されたりカジュアルな話し方をされると内容を把握するためにリソースが割かれるため記憶しにくくなるのではとしています。
After talking to others, in some cases people forget what was said moments later, but in other cases remember the conversation for many years. A new study by Texas University has determined that how we speak is a major factor for determining what speech we rememberIn their experiment, the researchers had subjects listen to audio of 72 English phrases, like the boy carried the heavy chair, in either a slow and clearly enunciated voice, or a voice more like a natural conversation. Afterwards, the subjects were asked to remember what they had heard, given hints like the boy. Both native and non-native speakers of English were better able to remember phrases which they had heard spoken more slowly and more clearly.The researchers suggest that when language processing is more difficult, it leaves less resources for memory formation.
そう、なので学校の先生とかお医者さんとかは話し方に気をつけることによって、まあ、生徒なり患者さんがちゃんと言われたことを覚えてられるかもしれないねっていうのが書いてあった。
It seems like it depends on a lot of...different things, you know, who you're talking to, what you're talking about.
そう、もちろんこれだけじゃないんだけど、要因の一つとしてね、話し方っていうのもあるし、あと今後の研究としては逆に話してる本人の記憶はどうなってるのか。なんか適当に喋った時ときちんと話した時で、話した本人の記憶もちょっと変わってるのかっていうのを調べるって言ってた。でも確かにね、こう話して昨日話したことなのに忘れちゃうみたいな時もあれば、10年前にあの人に言われたこの一言みたいなすごい覚えてる時もあるしね。
Well, I kind of wish that our brain would be more selective or selective a different way with what we remember and judge it, I guess, in terms ofI don't know how meaningful it is, your emotional reaction. I mean, I think those are factors as well. But, you know, a sentence like the boy carried the heavy chair, it's kind of neutral. Like it doesn't really give you a response. You know, so I think it'd be interesting to see these kinds of studies with phrases that elicit certain responses.
Right.でもやっぱりだから学校の先生っていう例が出てきたんだろうね。その感情に別に語りかけないけど、覚えておかなきゃいけないことをいっぱい言ってくるわけじゃん、先生っていうのは。だから確かにそういう時に話し方一つで記憶の残り方が違うんだったら、まあ残りやすい話し方をしてくれると生徒は助かるよね。
What do you think the difference is between memorizing something or knowing something, right?
Yeah.
And understanding something.
うん。だからまさに英語の勉強なんてさ、日本は丸暗記が多いから、あの、単語を何百個と丸暗記はしてるけど、使えるわけじゃない。なぜなら理解してるわけじゃなくて、単純に暗記してるだけだから。だからそれやっぱり全然違うよね。
I think it's memorization is a door, but so like if I say, if there's like a neutral empty phrase like the boy carried the heavy chair, and you know someone could repeat that back to you quite easily without issue, and that you're just learning a phrase. But if you usually in a conversation you're explaining a concept, and then the issue is, do you know what I mean? Not do you remember what I said, but do you know what I mean? In fact, in answering this question, I would prefer that someone said it back to me, not in the exact words that I said it, but rather in their own words, right? And if you can do that, then you have understanding. If you can't do that, then you just have memory of what was said, which I think can be confused with, you know, some kind of progress. You're not really, it's not nearly as valuable. And, it won't, remembering things wastes space in your brain. Understanding things saves space in your brain. And they look very similar when you're doing these two things. When you understand something, it's like a compression algorithm. You can extrapolate from that understanding. But when you memorize something, it's just taking up space in your head.
応用できないからね。だからまさにこう、よく日本の教育は丸暗記が多いっていうのが問題として指摘され、まあ英語だけじゃなくて歴史とか何でもそうなんだけど、そうすると今マイケルが言ったように本当に脳のスペースを取るばかりで別にそれをね、何かに使えるわけでもなし。だ引き出しが追加されていかないからね、丸暗記しちゃうと。だからそれは問題だよね、やっぱりね。
And this idea of simplicity, I think, is very important in understanding.
Yeah.
If someone cannot explain simply a concept or what their opinion is, if there needs to be a whole bunch of like, oh, you wouldn't understand, it's kind of like this, there's a bunch of metaphors and stuff, it's just nonsense. If you really understand something, you should be able to explain it in a fairly simply way. That doesn't mean that the person you're explaining it to will understand. But somebody can check your work, you know. And you should be able to get to this. Being able to articulate something is a good test of whether you understand it.
So
and being able to do that with minimal verbosity, I guess.
記憶って面白いね。この間ちょうど大学の時の友達と話してて、もう毎日のように一緒に遊んでたのね。で、もう何年も。で、超クレイジーライフを送ってたわけよ、二人で。なんかいつも超酔っ払ってたし、めっちゃクラブとか行ったり。で、お互い覚えてることが違う。なんていうの？私はこれ覚えてて、彼女は覚えてない。彼女はこういうことがあったのを覚えてて、私は覚えてないとかさ、同じ場所に行ったはずなんだけど、こうやっぱり記憶に残ってる出来事が違うっていうの
を、And when you guys,
まあ、よくあるけど面白いよね。
When you guys like, if you guys meet and go over all these old memories, there'll be like this cross contamination.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, where you're saying like, no, it happened like this, and there, and on a different memory, they'll be like, oh, and then this happened. And you guys are like putting little pieces in each other's heads about what happened. And some of those pieces you're putting in the wrong place, or you're, you know, grabbing the wrong pieces or whatever. There's a little bit of the fidelity is not that high.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always so fascinated by like language because it's like what sets us apart from animals. It's the whole reason why this whole thing is even going on in the first place.
Yep.
And biologically, we aren't that different from before we had language and after. It's like a game that humans started playing, and it's like still, like it's not a, how should I say this? It's incredible that humans had that facility for so many tens of hundreds of thousands of years.
Yeah.
And no one knew the whole time. Think about that. Like a species had this ability physiologically, language.
So, man.
And nobody did it for like hundreds of thousands of years. Yeah, nobody did it and like wrote shit down. And it's like the X-Men or something.
So,
because imagine that there is another thing like language, another ability
that we don't know yet.
that we haven't discovered. It's something inside. Because before people figured out that you could do language, everyone had the physical facility in their body that they were born with to do this.
Yeah.
But nobody did it. It's crazy.
だから他にも実はあるかもしれないよね。
There could still be.
ね、人類ができるけどやってないこと。
Yeah. But if you don't think in terms of that being a possibility,
yeah.
you know, like oh, moi, moi,
right.
we'll never find it.
そうね。
Maybe there isn't. But assuming that there isn't doesn't seem like the way to get there.
Yeah.
If there is.
Yeah. Also, like, なんか最近笑うことについても結構考える人間が。
Yeah.
こう、大人になってきたら笑うのって大体何か、例えば誰か転んで笑うみたいなのって子供が多いじゃん。何、大人になるとさ、そういうおっちょこちょいな行動とかっていうよりも誰かが言ったことに笑うとかの方が多いじゃん。だからなんとなく、
oh, That's kind of a cultural thing because it、Maybe. Used to be more slapsticky. Especially、
right.
in Japan, not even、
right.
that long ago. But like Charlie Chaplin and like...
Yeah, right. But I mean like...My individual experience wise,、mm-hmm. なんか大人になって結構笑いと言葉が結びついてる、
mm-hmm.
から言葉喋れなかったらそんなに面白いことないみたいなさ、
mm-hmm.
ただ赤ちゃんと一緒にいると赤ちゃんめっちゃ笑うの何でも笑うの、
mm-hmm.
だから私が犬の鳴き真似とかなんかとにかく笑わせたいから超いろんなことやるわけよ旗から見たらもう私はおかしな人かもしれないけど、
mm-hmm.
なんか犬の声真似したり猫の声したりなんかとにかくいろんな音とかを出してるとめっちゃ爆笑すんのなんかそれが、yeah. なんで面白いのかわかんないっていうかナーボーだったらとりあえず笑うっていうのもあるし、
mm.
それも不思議じゃんなんかなんだと面白くてなんだと面白くないのかの線引きもよくわからないっていうかさ
Well,
これは絶対笑うだろうと思ってやったら超真顔の時とかあるのね。
So we're very much programmed to subconsciously suppress urges to laugh that would be socially awkward or socially inappropriate.、
Mm.
You know, we try to, you know, when you interact with a bunch of different people over the course of your life, you kind of learn when it makes sense to laugh. If you laugh at a weird time, people are like, "What is up with that dude?"He's just laughing randomly.
まあそれもあるし、やっぱいろんなことに慣れちゃうからね。そんなにこういちいち面白いと思ってられないっていうのもあるよね。
Unrestrained laughter is a villainous trait.
Right.
like, villains have the unrestrained laughter trait, right?
Yeah.
You know, the cackling, evil sort of hyenas are like, you know, I don't know what it is, but...You have to be、politically correct about when and how you laugh.
Right. そりゃそうだね。大人になるとね。Yeah. なんか、なんだろうね。こう、赤ちゃんって人間のもう原型じゃないけど、こう、もともとじゃん。全然そういう言語とか社会的なルールとか何もない状態、まっさらな状態の生き物じゃん。だからこう、笑ってるのを見ると、しかも本当に爆笑みたいな。
Yeah.
なんか見てると、まあ、くすぐったりしてもね、笑うんだけど、もうくすぐったいみたいで。
I think babies can just fall into emotions. You know, like it's a giant、
yeah.
ball pit. you know, just jump in there. And that's true whether it's like surprise or disappointment, you know, anger.
Yeah.
Like happiness. It's almost like the most similar thing to a baby's emotional psychology that I can think of is the stock market. You know, the stock market behaves like a baby.
Yeah.
You know, you show it something shiny and it's like, ooh, and it rises up. But one thing starts to go wrong and it overreacts.
Yeah.
And everyone, you know, sells and it's very emotional.
Right.
The stock market in a way that's a little less restrained than an adult human being. I mean, comparing babies to stock markets is kind of weird, but I don't know. There's something about the emotional amplification that happens with certain equities that seem like the unrestrained emotions of a baby.
Right. It's really funny when the baby is upset, but then you do something funny and he wants to laugh and he's kind of laughing, but he's upset and he's confused. It's like, yeah. 大人だとなかなかないじゃん。そのすごい怒ってる時になんか笑わせてくる人もそんないないし、まず、
well,
なんか笑っちゃう、
素直じゃないから
けど怒ってるみたいな。
Like adults aren't 素直。
そうだね。
Where babies can't really help it.
そうなんだよ。
It's not really up to them.
Yeah.
Right.
いやだからこう、そうだね。
It's they're only getting less snow from here.
そう、だからそれがなんか残念。もったいない感じがする。次。BMJ に掲載されたスタンフォード大学の研究で4000万人の赤ちゃんを対象に調査を行った結果、父親の年齢が30代半ばになると出産時に異常や合併症が起こる確率が高くなり、45歳以上になるとその確率がさらに上がっていることが分かりました。過去数十年の間、女性は出産時の年齢が上がると妊娠出産や赤ちゃんへのリスクが増加すると言われてきましたが、男性にも同じことが言えます。父親の年齢が35歳から44歳だと25歳から34歳の場合と比較して早産や低体重児のリスクが 5% 増加します。45歳以上だと ICU に入る確率が 14%、 早産が 14%、 発作が 18%、 低体重が 14% それぞれ増加するほか、50歳以上になると ICU に入る確率が 28% 上昇していました。また父親の年齢が上がると妊娠中に母親が妊娠糖尿病を発症する確率が上がるという相関関係が確認されました。男性は年を取るごとに精子の DNA により多くの変異が起きます。過去の研究で20歳の男性と比較して36歳の男性は2倍の遺伝子変異を子供に受け継いでしまうと言われており、リスクの要因となっています。
According to a study by Stanford University and published in the BMJ, using data from 40 million babies, children born to fathers over 35 years old are at increased risk of congenital disorders and complications. This risk increases significantly once the father is 45 years old. While it has been said for decades that older women having children present additional risk to newborns, the same is true for future fathers. The newborns of fathers between 35 and 45 years old are at 5% higher risk of premature birth and low birth weight. Over the age of 45, the probability of the child going to ICU is 14%, premature birth 14%, spasms 18%, and low birth weight 14%. For babies born to fathers over 50, the ICU rate is 28%. Furthermore, the age of the father is correlated with an increase in gestational diabetes developing in the mother. As men age, the quality of their sperm's DNA degrades. Past research has found that men over 36 have twice as many genetic mutations as a 20-year-old male, increasing risk of congenital defects.
そう。だって、過去の研究でも、奥さんが若くても まあ、女性が若くても男性が年が上だと流産の確率も上がるとか言われてたので、
うん、
まあ女性だけじゃなくて男性の年齢もいろいろ影響を与えますよっていうのは何年も言われてきてはいるんだけど、なかなかこう浸透してないというか、あんまりそれを認知してない人も多いよね。うん、
The average age of first birth has been increasing in both genders quite substantially.
日本だと初産の年齢が女性が 30.7 歳、男性が 32.8 歳。だけど東京に絞ると 32.3 歳、女性が。だからまあ都市部と地方でやっぱり差が違うから。
In Tokyo?
Men は分かんない。書いてなかった。
Must be,
まあもうちょっと上の
か。I imagine it's a little bit. The gap might be larger there than it is in、うん、other areas. But the average age of first birth for men hasn't moved that much, right? It's moved like 4 or 5 years. But the average age of first birth for women used to actually be quite young.
そうだね。そう、全然違う。で、まあこのリスクがありますって言っても、もともとのリスクがそんなにすごい大きいわけじゃないから、
うん、
全体で見るとそんなにね、じゃあすごい危険かっていうとそういうふうには言えるわけじゃないんだけど、ただまあ例えば何歳までに子供作ろうかなとか、もう結婚してていつがいいかなって決めるときに、うん、まあ一応それもちゃんと考慮に入れといた方がいいよっていう話。
Well, the risks seem to increase quite suddenly after 40、
うん、
for, especially for、womenI don't know if the, you know what the case is with men, if it's as dramatic. But
right.
Women have menopause, so, and some people enter that, at totally different times from other people.
Right.
You know.
So, まああと fertility もね、全然、まあ35歳以降になると、mm. 結構変わってきちゃうから。
But the, autism birth rates are fairly negligible up until 40, and then all of a sudden it's like one out of 300, one out of, you know, it starts to get
そうで、やっぱり1年経つごとにリスクが変わっていくから、まあ本当ならば早い方がいいんだよね。だから
So society as a whole seems to be trending away fromwhat the biological ideal is.
そう。だから、まあ、私自分が妊娠した、まあ、しようと思って不妊治療してる時も思ったし、まあ、もしかしてここでも言ったかもしれないけど、その、まあ、女性は中高生の時とかに妊娠したら、日本だと学校をクビになっちゃう場合もあるし、
うん、
もうダメみたいな雰囲気なわけじゃない？で、じゃあ仕事キャリアも築こうと思ったら大学行かなきゃいけないから、そこで妊娠してる場合じゃない、
mm-hmm.
で大学卒業して、まあ、就活して仕事始まったら、まあ一人前になるまでにはじゃあ3年ぐらいかかりますと、
mm-hmm.
でそれまで妊娠してる場合じゃないみたいなことを言ってるうちに、もう20代半ばとかが過ぎていって、気づいたら、mm-hmm. ああもう早く子供作らないと間に合わないみたいな、
yeah. And you
急にせかされる
marry some guy that youKind of like, or, you know, there's a lot of compromises that you have to make once you start to run out of time. Compromises that you wouldn't have had to make before.
急にこうせかされる。だから特に女性はまあ出産しなくちゃいけないから、まあその差をすごい感じることがあると思うんだけど、その期待値の絶対妊娠したらもう人生終わりみたいな言われてた時から、ああもう今妊娠しないとみたいなさ。
Well, a lot of women don't want children too.You know?
あ、そう、それはそれで全然いいんだけど。
As, but you, I mean, you gotta be really sure though. Like, you gotta be really sure. Like,、mm-hmm. that's a, you know, that's a tough, because it seems like a lot of people change their minds. They're like, I'm not interested in having children. And then later, they want to have children. And so if you look at the data for age of first birth, it's rectangularized.
Hmm.
It's like a rectangle because、mm-hmm. people are trying to have their first child either, you know, before 32, 33, 34, or they've decided not to have children. And then, but a lot of those people change their minds later.
Yeah.
And so that's why you kind of have this rectangular
right.
shape.
難しいよね。
How can you know that you won't change your mind? That's always gets me. Like, how do I know?
Mm.
Like, I've made up my mind. Unless I change my mind later. And I don't know if I'm going to do that. You know?
まあ、私の友達で絶対子供いらないっていう人がいて、その人はもう、なんていうの、昔から絶対いらない。
Mm.
で、旗から見てもいらなそう。
Mm.
だから、あ、全然なんかそういう人もいる。なっていう感じ。
I used to know some people like that, and then they changed their mind. You know, so, and it, I don't know how you get to the place where you're sure about what you will think in the future.
まあね。
Right? Like someone can tell you this, but it's like, I know you think this right now, but how do you know that you're going to keep thinking this?
まあね。
Or that's just something that you think also. Right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
まあね。
It's scary stuff. Like, it's very hard.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to hear any of this. Personally, I see this article, I'm like, I don't want to hear any of this. Like, get this away from me.
そう、でもそれは女性がやっぱりずっと言われてきたことじゃん。早くしろ、早くしろ、みたいなさ。で、なんかこう。
They haven't said that for men as well? I thought it was kind of like,
いや、なんかやっぱり
obvious stuff.
男性は、ある程度リミットがないみたいなさ、別に60代でも子供持てるし、まあ、出産するわけじゃないから。
Your old dusty sperm are definitely there's like a, why is there?
でもセレブとかでもいっぱいいるじゃん。だからこうなんとなく男性はもうリミットがなくていつまででも子供持てる。で実際に持てる人ももちろんいるんだけど、ただリスクはあるよっていう話、ね。
Well, the celebrities are in a very privileged position of having lots of money and you know they have a lot of ample mate selection. You know, generally they're fairly attractive. And in a sense, I think it's kind of more normalized something that's not realistic for a lot of people.
Right.
I mean, there are benefits to waiting. You can have a more stable family environment.
Yeah.
You can have a better, improve your relationship. You could improve your socioeconomic status. You could just a better living situation generally. And you think
right.
all those things are really going to help your child. But those are set against, you know, this difference in your sperm quality and the
right.
egg quality. And
だからタイミング本当に難しいよね。やっぱり仕事してるとどうしてもさ、ああちょっと今じゃないなっていうのが何年も続いたりするっていうのはよくあるわけじゃない。だそうするとね、知らない間にもう30半ば超えてるっていうのはよくあるから。でさらにじゃあ一人じゃなくて二人三人でなるとその分バッファーがいるわけじゃん。後々の。
うん、
そうすると。じゃあもうちょっと早くしないといけないかなとかさ。
Mm. Things have gotten so complicated with these changing demographics、
mm.
and there's a cycle, right? This is a circle. There's a cycle going on, and members of the cycle are changing the shape of the cycle on one end of the cycle, right?
Yeah.
And we don't know how that.Kind of moves through and changes the entire cycle. Do you know what I'm saying with this?
Yeah.
This cycle thing, the cycle of life. You know the time between generations, how many kids there are, sort of the nuclear family values or whatever family values.
Yeah.
You know, these kind of have these long-term emergent effects on.、Mm.On everything, right?
Yeah. しかもやっぱりこう子供を作ろうっていう年齢が上がっていくにつれて、じゃあ今欲しいなって思った時にすぐできるとは限らないわけじゃん。まあうちもそうだったけど、
mm.
だから欲しいなって思ってからそっから1年2年とかかもっとかかる可能性もある。
Mm.
だからね。
What if we fix this the whole telomere? I don't know the.Chromosome degradation thing, so our DNA stayed high quality your whole life until you fall down the stairs or something. until something gets you, you would just stay young, or you'd stay fertile forever. You know, like, it would just change how everyone made decisions, obviously. It would completely change society.
But like, if your body doesn't age, you mean?
So the technologies we have right now have already changed the way people make decisions.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And when they make those decisions. And those technologies are probably going to improve, get better and better and better.
Yeah.
And so our decisions are going to continue to skew whichever way they're skewing right now.
Yeah.
I don't see it reverting. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, would you expect, you know, one, two generations from now that people are having children, you know, at 20 again or something? Or the technology will push the decision making. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. まあ戻りはしないだろうね。また急にみんなが15歳とかで子供を産み始めるみたいな。
うん。
はないだろうけど。
And that kind of changes the, like, what do you think the odds are for people our age to meet our great-grandchildren?
Great grandchildren, like our kids' kids.
Yeah. Well, that's just grandchildren.
Yeah.
I mean, your kids' kids' kids, right?
Oh, what kids' kids' kids?
Like your grandparent meets your kid, or you meet your kids' grandchild.
Oh, Jesus.
You meet your you know what I'm saying, yeah. though, right? Like
like 170 歳まで生きるとってことでしょ?
Oh, you have to live so freaking long. Like before, you could just live to like 60, and then you can meet your great-grandchild, right?
Yeah.
But now, you have to be like 130 to meet your great-grandchild. And for us, we'll have to be like 200 years old to meet your great-grandchild.
Yeah. ちょうど一昨日うちのおじいちゃんが亡くなっておばあちゃんが一人になっちゃったからなんか寂しくないようにうちの息子を連れて会いに行ったのよその時も思ったもんなんか私も長く生きてたら自分の息子がもしね子供できたとしてそれを見ることもあるのかなとか
I don't know if it's
もうなんか不思議すぎる
It seems unlikely Right?Plus, they'll be on Mars or something. I don't know. But people are getting further away, too. Like, the whole idea of your child even living overseas was very new to people.
Right.
Not that long ago. But now it's fairly normal.
Yeah, but like, my grandma got to meet, or both my grandparents got to meet my son.
Mm.
So, you know, しかも in person, not over FaceTime or something.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, they were here when, you know, they had World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So from that to my baby, that's like a huge difference, obviously.
Grandparents think about that a lot. You know, my grandparents have told me, you know, they want to see the new one.
Mm.
You know, sooner than later.
Oh, yeah. My grandma was pushing me like all the time. Like, yeah, when like is all it?
All the time. 早くしてとか. So appalled by my lack of progress.
But yeah. でもなんか自分はそういうふうには自分もなっちゃうのかねって思わない。
What else are you going to give a shit about once you're like...150 or however old you have to be to meet your great-grandchild. Like, life is what matters. Not all this other stuff. Like, this is a joke.
でも本当にそう、なんか、私すごい可愛がられたのね。最初の孫で。
うん。
おばあちゃんに。超可愛がられて育ったんだけど、だから会いに行くと、もう絶対私に超アテンションくれる。
うん。
だけど、ひ孫生まれた瞬間にもう赤ちゃん連れてったらもう私のことほぼ見ないレベル。もう、そう、今まで生きてきて初めておばあちゃんがこんなに自分を見ない だそれぐらい私の息子にフォーカスしてる今、うん、だからなんか面白いよねその
Well, when you think about it that way, don't you want that to happen? Like if you can just choose, like just easily, like oh yeah, like do you want to meet your great grandchild before
ね、だから子供の子供ってそれぐらいのなんていうの力がある。だからちょっとね、あのちょっとってか結構ボケちゃってるのね。しかもなのに会いに行くと急にニューロンがつながってしっかりし始めるというかさ。
うん
こう目に活気が戻ってきて、
うん、
結構喋るしだからすごいなって思う
幸せじゃん
ね本当そう次
On Tuesday, China unveiled a 17-meter full-scale replica of the core module for its first crewed space station which is called the Tiangong 3 which means Heavenly Palace 3The Tiangong will be one-fifth the mass of the ISS at 80 to 100 metric tons and consist of three modules, the service module in the center and one laboratory module on each side. The service module provides life support for the astronauts as well as guidance, navigation, and orientation control for the space station. China expects to launch the Tiangong 3 in 2022 and have it remain in orbit for around 10 years.
中国政府は今週火曜日、新しい宇宙ステーション、天宮3号の基本機能モジュールの実物大模型を公開しました。模型は全長17メートルです。天宮3号は国際宇宙ステーションの5分の1の80から100トン規模になる予定で、中央にサービスモジュール、両側に研究モジュールが設置されます。サービスモジュールには宇宙飛行士の生命維持のための設備のほか、ステーションの運営に必要なコントロール機能が置かれます。中国政府は2022年の打ち上げを計画しており、その後10年間ほど運営する予定です。
Yep.
あれ、国際宇宙ステーションって、リタイアするの
?Yeah, well, it's getting too old. I don't know if there's a fixed date on that, but I think it's like 2024 or something-ish.
国際宇宙ステーションって何年経ってるの?
I don't know. Can't look it up. Quite a long time. China's had their own space stations up there probably since the early 2000s. When was the ISS up?So early 2000s.
The first piece was launched in 1998. Mm. だって。
What did they launch it on?
Shuttle? Russian rocket.
Okay. Hmm.
で、どんどん追加してた感じ。
Hmm. Yeah, it's pretty old.
They were thinking,
they might have to leave it up there unmanned for a while, but it looks like the Soyuz is operational again, so it's not a huge deal. But in April of this year, they had the Tiangong 1 fall out of space, if you remember that.
ね、すごい話題になったもんね。
Yeah. And the Tiangong 2 should fall out of space fairly soon, too. And the Tiangong 2 is just a...Another little space station test. They've been building up to this one, which is supposed to be like their real-ish space station. I mean, they'll probably make another Tiangong, you know, Tiangong 4 after this one. But this one is, it looks like it has pretty good capability for scientific research, which the Chinese government is pursuing really aggressively right now.
でも10年なんだね。なんか短いって思ったけど。
Well, they don't want to promise too much.
Right.
Sometimes these things last a lot longer than they expect them to.
え、ISS ってリタイアした後どうするの?
I don't know. Just probably waste more money on the SLS. I don't know. NASA's falling behind China. In terms of government,activity it seems like in some areas I don't know maybe the space force thing will do something we'll have a military
そうだ宇宙軍
space force station
そうだ忘れてたそれ
Yeah, I totally forgot about Space Force. Yeah, I'm sure NASA will think of something.
Trump の宇宙
軍. Because once the ISS is decommissioned, you know, we can't just have a Chinese space station and that's it. Right?
I don't know.
Well, no one else can go to... Can everyone go? Is it free to just show up? You can't, right? It's controlled. And what's interesting about the... Well, it's modular, which is interesting. It seems like the only way to do it now. If you want to build a big station, you can't send it all up at once because it has to go in rockets. So it's modular. So they send one piece at a time and then lock them together. But most of the Chinese aerospace technology is very Russian looking. Extremely Russian looking. Well, Soviet looking, I should say. Very, very Soviet looking. And I think it's because they had a, they were kind of tight with the, they were tight with the Soviet Union in like the 50s and 60s, and they had some information exchange programs that had to do with space and military technology. So they're.
それが今でも生きてるってこと?
All the stuff they're using now looks like the old Soviet stuff from the 60s.
Huh.
Yeah, but it's not old stuff.
Right.
It's like brand new.
Right.
Using a design from the 60s.
Huh.
I think it's kind of weird. Like their spacecraft to get to the Tiangong, it looks like a Soyuz. Just it's like a different size. It's like a bigger Soyuz. But it looks very Soyuz. And it makes you think, like, what is Japanese stuff look like, you know, whereas Japan didn't really have this intimate exchange of rocketry knowledge. So I think China's a lot further ahead than people generally suspect. Like the general public doesn't really realize how much information they really have. But there's certain, like, they have knowledge about rocketry and aerospace that probably the United States doesn't understand. Like the Russians figured out certain things for the rocket technology that people don't understand outside of their. I mean, the opposite is also true for American space technology.
Right.
Yeah, but the Soyuz is really reliable, which suggests that China will actually have reliable space equipment.
この間みたいに、なんでこの間はロシアだったっけ？なんか穴開いてたみたいな。
Oh, in the Soyuz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was another. The hole wasn't. Well, you saw the what happened. Like the rockets did not separate from the main capsule, or the main, that has like these three, are they solid boosters? I think there's like three solid boosters or something on the Soyuz rocket, and they like peel away. There's like a weird hinge mechanism, and they do like this crazy like little ballet like hinge weird thing, and something went wrong with that, but they figured that out. That was like the whole Soyuz failure that was in the news for a while.
Yeah.
A new study published in Psychological Science by researchers at Humboldt University of Berlin suggests that linguistic differences can determine whether or not someone will be able to see a colored shape, stating, our native language is one of the forces that determine what we consciously perceive. The researchers showed speakers of Greek, Russian, and German 13 colored stimuli consisting of geometric shapes imposed on a contrasting colored background and asked them to watch for a gray semicircle, which would appear at some point during the trial. The test was really to see whether they noticed a colored triangle appear at one point and to see whether the triangle's color affected subjects' ability to notice it. The triangle shown could be light blue or light green or dark green, and the background as well. The researchers found that participants who spoke Greek and Russian languages which have distinct linguistic color categories for light blue and dark blue, were more likely to notice a light blue triangle on a dark blue background, or vice versa, than speakers of German.
Psychological Science に掲載されたベルリン・フンボルト大学の研究で、言語の差によって色がついた形が見えるかどうかが左右されることが分かりました。実験では色付きの丸や三角形などの図を13種類用意し、背景にはそれぞれ対比となる色を配置しました。ギリシャ語、ロシア語、ドイツ語の話者に対して図を見せていき、灰色の半円が出てきたら注目しておくよう事前に指示しておきました。その上で水色の三角形の背景に紺色、紺色の三角形の背景に水色、黄緑色の三角形の背景に深緑色、深緑色の三角形の背景に黄緑色を配置した図を登場させ、三角形が見えているか確かめたところ、水色と紺色をそれぞれ示す言葉があるギリシャ語とロシア語の話者の方が、ドイツ語話者に比べ三角形に気づく確率が高くなっていました。
Yep.
色が見えてるかっていう話あるよね。あのアフリカの、ナミビアのなんか部族の人たちみたいな、彼らは色を示す言葉がすごい少ないから、なんか違いが、なんか緑と水色の違いがないみたいな、彼らの中では。
You know, their eyes can see all the colors the same as ours can. It's like the cognition that's different.
だから、なんかこのさ、有名な図見たことない？これ。
But what's interesting about this study is it shows that this is part of how you perceive reality in a passive sense.
Right.
Like this, there were no words used in this study, right? They didn't use these words.
Yeah.
They just showed the colors.
Yeah.
And the person wasn't even looking at this shape. It wasn't even asked about this shape.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like a totally subconscious awareness of your environment, or at least awareness of difference, that your brain skips over if it doesn't have the linguistic labels.
そう、名前がついてるかついてないかだけで見え方が変わっちゃうんだよね。だから、
What is a color, really? You know, like, it just sounds like a weird, deep question, but how do we, where do you name it? Like, is there a some sort of official scientific standard for color temperature? So this many degrees over, we add a name. So the names are spaced, like...
ね、
equally, or do we have a bunch of names clustered together? And you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the spectrum is doesn't have any linguistic or cultural bias.
Right.
The visible color spectrum.
Right.
And then different cultures and languages have put labels at different increments. Yeah. Of that spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
だってこういつかの論文でさ、人類が青っていう概念を持ち始めたのは意外と最近のことみたいなのあるよね。それまではもう全部緑。だから青も全部緑の種類の一つとしてカウントされてたから、なんか青いものっていうコンセプトがそもそもないみたいな。
That's weird because you think about like,grass and the ocean.
Yeah.
And so you can either think, and you could do this right now, you can imagine that there are different shades of the same color.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, or so. You can imagine that they're different colors, and then if you do that, then you don't really imagine that they can shade into the other one.
Yeah.
Right?
ただ確かにこう例えば 黄緑色とそれよりちょっと明るい黄緑色とかって、うん、黄緑色って名前で一緒くたにしてるからなんだろう、まあある意味乱暴にあこれは黄緑とかって終わらせてるけど、うん、そこに名前がついてたらまたそれは全然違う、もうそれこそ青と緑ぐらい、いや全然違うじゃんって思うわけじゃん。だからこのナミビアの人、なんかその部族とかは赤、茶色、オレンジ、黄色はもう同じ言葉。
Like brown is dark orange.
そうそうそう。だから濃いか薄いかはあるかもしれないけど、まあ基本同じ色として。
Can yellow be like light orange or?
うん、じゃない?
I feel like you could sit around and just start calling things things.
そう。And, だからうちらが青でやってることで、mm. 薄かろうが濃かろうが、まあ紺色も青といえば青だし、水色も青といえば青だよねってまとめてる。Mm. そのまとめ方が違うっていうだけ、ちょっとずれがあるっていうだけで。まあうちらもそれはやってるっちゃやってるんだけど。
Mm. Isn't it interesting that we don't really...put another color in between blue and green or between the other colors like turquoise like or cyan or something right、
mm.
you can just say like yeah, there's blue there's cyan and there's green those are three colors but it's a lie because we can just keep doing that、
mm.
and like if iThis would be an interesting experiment. You just have a panel and you set it to primary color blue, 255 blue, right? And you just slowly shift it to green and you ask the study participants to press a button as soon as it's green.
Hmm.
As soon as this thing turns green, hit this button.
Yeah.
And you don't explain any more than that. Just see where they hit the button and then just see, you know,All these people in the world, when do they hit the... I mean, you could build this into a web browser and
でもさ、世代によっても違くない?なんかさ、おばあちゃんとかってさ、え、どっちだっけ?なんか、青のこと、緑、青信号、でもそれは信号の呼び方によるからかな。なんか、青と緑の。
Everyone still says 青, but there is no 青. Or actually, they're adding 青.But it's not owl. They're adding owl for like colorblind people, right? But they, I think they have added、
hmm.
blue to the green because people are like red, green, colorblind. It doesn't make、hmm. sense to make it red and green,、
hmm.
right?
そうだね、確かに。
Like, what's a common form of colorblindness? Well, red, green. Okay. So what are we going to make our traffic lights? Red, green. And then we're going to have people drive around.I don't know. But they added blue to it.、everyone says, oh, whether you're old or young.、
うん、でも名前をつけることによってこう、例えばそのターコイズって言われた時に、なんか色なんてさ、ほんとちょっと違う色混ぜただけで全然違う色になるわけじゃん。
Like turquoise?
なのにターコイズって言われた時にみんながなんとなく頭に思い浮かべる色が同じって面白いよね。
Do you just see turquoise or do you see like a blue, green, like kind of both colors at once?
Turquoise.
Yeah.
なんか群青色とか藍色とか日本語もいっぱいさあるけど、じゃあ藍色って言われた時にみんながパッて思い浮かぶ色は同じじゃん。なんかそれって種としてさ、人類という種として結構すごいことだよね。
How do you take this beyond color? Because I think it works beyond color. You know, like... So there are certain... On some subtle level, the way that people... In, I mean, obviously, your language is going to have a huge impact on how you interpret the world around you.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
And so there's some sort of like... I mean, I'm assuming if...people speak the same language, there's something about how they perceive the world that is similar. But I don't know if that's necessarily true. It's like just more likely.
Hmm.
Like, hmm, How would I explain? So like the opposite of the study is the spot the difference study, right? Where you have a picture of a snail, then you have a picture of a snail that's slightly shiny. It just has some reflections and stuff on it. And adults cannot tell the difference between these two images to save their life.
Right.
But babies can tell the difference, or young children can tell the difference quite easily. Right. And it's because as you get older, your brain just says...
取捨選択しちゃうからね。
Your brain just says, snail. Because, like the researchers were saying in this study, it's about optimization.
Right.
It's so always a cost-benefit. So you're not, it's not pure accuracy, it's optimization.
Right.
So things are reduced and simplified by language, but any real physical object in the world is probably so complex you can't really describe it. We just call it something, and the word is almost like a metaphor. It's like an archetype. It's a bottle, but you know, there's so many. Like that's what you need to know.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that with age.
With age?
Yeah, like... So again, I'm always with my baby, so I'm always thinking about babies now.
Uh-huh.
But, なんか、ベイビーっていう言葉がついてるわけじゃん。だからその、最近さ、赤ちゃんとか子供の声がうるさいとか、だから保育園作らないでほしいとか、なんかそういう話題が多いじゃん。
Mm-hmm.
日本も。なんかそれを持ったときに、なんかベイビーズっていう名前をつけて一括りにしてなんかそういう生き物がいるかのような、
うん、
なんていうの普通の人間と赤ちゃんは違うみたいな、
うん、
ふうに思っちゃうじゃん名前がついてるから
It's mostly true
だけどなんだろう普通にとかまあ赤ちゃんだけじゃなくて30代40代とかこう一括りにするなんかそういうものがあったかもあるかのような、
うん
なんていうの?それはラベルすることによってそこにそういう実態があるかのような錯覚を得るみたいな、
うん、
なんかわかる?なんかうまく説明できないけどこうなんて言えばいいんだろうね赤ちゃんっていうものがあるわけじゃなくてなんか単純に0歳なんていうの単純に、
mm. well, You're saying that the transition boundary linguistically for what we call humans between baby, toddler, child, teenager, adult is not a real thing.
そうそうそう
It's a reference
そうそうそう
that we use to inform appropriate human behavior.
Yeah.
You know? So like it's just about our behavior. That's why we call things the things we do is to change our behavior and other people's behavior.
Right.
It's the whole game. So, you know, don't get mad, it's a baby. Yeah. It's a very simplified babies do this.
Right.
And we work with a bunch of generalizations so we don't have to reinvent the wheel day to day.
But
I like to think of adults as babies, and I think that's truer than whatever the connotation behind adult is.
その子供とか赤ちゃんっていうことによって、それがその人があったかもこう半人前なんか 0.5 人みたいな。なんか、
okay.
でも、人間だから普通に大人と同じリスペクト受けるべきじゃん。
うん。personhood。
そう。そうそう。だからそれをなんか結構思っていて。だから。
Like, you're not less of a person because you're smaller, right?
そう。で、なんか考えが今まとまってないから全然伝わってるか分かんないんだけど、例えば、知らない子供同士があった時に、大人が勝手に、ほら、お友達ですよ、みたいな言うじゃん。
うん、
それもなんか、子供を自分が産んだら急に謎に思えてきて、いや、友達じゃないじゃん、みたいな。なんか、大人が勝手にお友達って呼んでるだけ。なんか、
mm-hmm.
初めて会ってもう二度と会わない子供同士でも、ああ、ほら、お友達いるよとか言うじゃん。なんか、それも違和感を感じるぐらい、なんか、いや、これも人間だから。
well,
って思う。なんかわかる。なんか自分が他の人にそれ言われたら超違和感あるじゃん。
But there's a weird relationship with like, I guess in parenting, with the truth, and how much white lying are you doing for the benefit of your child?
Yeah. So like Santa Claus, right?
Yeah.
So I think, if you're listening to this with a child.Turn it off right now.
Spoiler but, alert. It will ruin the child's
so
life.
So I think I've talked about this on the show a
Santa
couple
Claus
times, like
real.
Debating like, you know, am I going to do that? I don't want to lie to my kid. I want to be a cool mom, you know. But I see my son and I'm like, I'm definitely going to do Santa Claus. I'm definitely going to be doing that. I'm not going to be this person who's like, oh,
I
you know, that's
you were
bullshit.
All like modern, like...
I know.
New agey, hippie.
I know.
Fuck Santa. Santa's dead.
I know.
Get used to it.
And now I'm just like, oh, what am I going to give him?
No,
as
life,
Santa Claus.
Life is too scary. It's too big. And it comes at you too fast, especially if you're a kid.
So, それが何だろう自分でもびっくりするぐらい変わっちゃう。
That's an important detail to life. The whole Santa phenomenon.
Yeah, and
it's an important experience to have.
And suddenly I remember how excited I was.
Yeah.
When I was a child about Santa Claus.
Would you steal that from little mommy?
Yeah. And
steal that from, you know how upset.
Yeah, and that's cruel, you know. And I'm serious. I'm not even being sarcastic or anything. It suddenly feels cruel to not do it for my kid. And that's...I don't know. It's crazy. Or before, when I was pregnant, I was like, oh, you know, once I have a child, I'm going to have to take it to Disneyland. I'm like tired already. I'm mid-30s. I don't want to go to Disneyland. Now I'm like, oh, when can we go? When can we go to Disneyland and take millions of pictures? You know, it's crazy. Like, I used to make fun of people. Disneyland 行ったらさなんかミッキーとかキャラクターと写真撮るために超家族が並んでるじゃん、mm-hmm. その写真一枚撮るためだけにそれとかもさなんかなんでそんな並んでまで写真欲しいのと思ったけど子供生まれた瞬間にあーうちの子供とミッキーの写真撮りたい絶対超可愛いよみたいななんかもう頭がおかしくなっちゃう
So do you think you're nuts now or you were naive then or like what's your diagnosis? I know you're still kind of in the middle of itBut what was wrong with you then, or what's wrong with you now?
I think it's both. I was just being clueless. I was just being clueless about how much your kid changes you mm-hmm. or your perceptions on things and how crazy you become about your child.
So you think you were right before, but you're just bonkers now?I kind of look at it the other way. I feel like you were kind of naive before about, you know, the value that these experiences have for children.
でもそれはそうかもね。
Yeah, and, you know, as an adult who feels like a child who's kind of like, who's over it and too cool for Santa and shit.
Yeah, でもそれはそうかもね。だからある意味舐めてたっていうか、こう、ああ、なんか、子供連れてそれこそディズニーランドだけじゃなくて水族館とかもういろんなところに連れて行かなきゃいけないの絶対めんどくさいよって思ってたけど生まれたらもうなんかめんどくさいとかじゃないもうどこにでも連れて行きたいみたいな何なんだろうねそれだから自分の中では昔のだから産む前の自分が普通の大人で産んだらおかしくなっちゃったと思ったけど、まあそういうふうに言ってもらえるとありがたいけ
ど I think it's true though you know I thinkIf there isn't magic and wonder in a child's life, that it's... I don't even know what that's like. I don't want to imagine it.
Yeah.
But sort of the nihilist, literal, you know, quark-based reality, you know, the big data reality, whatever this reality we're approaching is, kind of a sterilized atheist plus reality or whatever, you know, it's not pretty.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of used to it. But for a child, I think it would be very, very disturbing. It's something you kind of have to warm up to. And when I was a kid, you know, There was magic. My imagination was out of control. You know, it wasn't until I was a teenager that, you know, I realized that, I don't know, reality is a thing and you can't kind of just imagine your way through it. But when you're a kid, you can.
Yeah.
Because you're not that vulnerable when you're a kid. When you get older, you are. You can't afford to be in fantasy land. You'll be homeless or something, you know? So bring in the tooth fairy and the
Santa Claus and all kinds of stuff. Mickey Mouse is real.
Yeah. Watch Fantasia. Bring yourself back to like the magical wonderland of possibilities and just wizards and miracles and, you know, not like, you know, paying taxes and dying.
It's crazy how it changes. I don't know. I thought I would be this like chill person who doesn't change before and after a kid. And, you know, I'm this like independent woman with a job and, you know, whatever. No. Goodbye.
Well,
I'm a total different person.
Yeah. I think it's good. I think you're doing great.
See?
CTRL Labs, or Control Labs, has developed a neuro device which enables its user to train a specific neuron or specific neurons in the brain, which control specific muscle fibers in the arm, to send a signal using their thoughts. The training is accomplished using neurofeedback, and firing the neurons does not require physically moving your arm. Once the value of those neural outputs is programmed, then the machine is able to interpret your brain's firing of each neuron, enabling the user to control the machine with their mind.
CTRL ラボがユーザーが腕の筋肉繊維を動かす脳内の神経細胞を訓練すると、思考を使って機械に信号を送れるようになるブレスレット状のデバイスを開発しました。訓練はニューロフィードバックを使い、腕を動かさずしてニューロンを発火させることができます。一度アウトプットを確認すれば、あとは機械が脳内のニューロンの発火を読み取り、思考だけで動くようになります。なんかこれやった人のレビューみたいな記事を読んだけど。
はい。
その。
This one?
たぶん。
The one from Control Labs? Or?
いや。あの、なんかブレスレットみたいなのつけて、手を開くと、その画面上の手も、まあ、もちろん開く、
うん、
ただ今度は開かずに手は開かないんだけど手を開くぞって思うと、
うん、
自分の手は開いてないんだけど画面上の手は手を開いてるっていう、
うん、And that means you were It's a signal to keep doing that Right? So this is how you train the neuron、
うん、
Is that you It's just a trial and errorTo establish the connection, I guess,、
mm.
or the connection between your thinking and the firing of the neuron. That's、mm. the hard part.、
Mm. だからさ、今例えば VR とかで自分も動かないといけないじゃん、もちろん。
Mm.
だからまあ特別な場所に、まあ家でもできるけど、まあもうちょっと広いところでゾンビをやっつけるゲームとかみんなやりに行ってるわけじゃん。ただそれを考えるだけで、あ、今あのゾンビを撃ちますとかさ、
うん、
あ、今ここで手を上げて剣を振りかざすとか、
yeah.
考えるだけでできるようになれば、コントローラーすらもいらないってこと。
I think they could do that now. I mean, you'd need a little more, some other sort of contextual technology. So like、
yeah.
eye tracking or something, right?
Right.
So if they know where you're looking,
yeah,
and then、
yeah.
you send the
それ楽しいよね。
neuron.
なんかハリーポッターみたいな気分が味わえるわけでしょ?
Yeah, well, you're seeing the... There's some...
それすごいよね。
Neurofeedback is very weird, you know? Like, I don't know how to explain it, but...I feel like there'd be something oddly addictive or something about it. Because you're just, it's your mind and this thing. And your mind does something, and then it does something. And your mind does something, and it does something. And you're seeing that connection in your experience. And it's like, it's the first time that you will have interacted with the outside world since the day you were born without moving muscles, without, like everything we do is with our hands or, I mean, you can turn on the lights with your forehead or kick a light switch, but it's still, you're using your body and you're kind of pressing a button, but imagine you can look at that light switch and think on, off. Like, this is some Skywalker level stuff.
その artificial limb とかってそれは今まではできてなかったってこと？そこまでは。その arm とか。
This concept has been around for artificial limbs for a very long... Well, this concept has been around for a very long time and has been used for artificial limb control. But they're taking the signal from those... I mean, it's a very similar thing, but the idea... I think, I mean, it's almost the same thing. It's a very similar technology. I mean, what you want for an advanced, like bionic arm or something is just to read the firing of your neurons.
Right.
It's just that actual interface of being able to do that, I don't think has been at a level where you would be able to actually use an arm and like pick stuff up and manipulate objects. Also, I don't know how can it tell like how much you're firing that neuron? You know, they thought, remember they thought dendrites were like on or off, and then they started saying dendrites are more of an analog thing, like a potentiometer or something. Like it has a voltage, right? That could be any value.
Right.
Between 0 and 1. Yeah, I don't know what the state is on those implants, or not implants, but bionic arms, but I know that they're getting much better. And I think, you know, Elon with his Neuralink company, they stated that their initial goal, you know, Elon's initial goal with Neuralink is bionic arms and things. Things like this that would use this technology. So, I mean, there are a lot of companies working on this now. There's Kernel, Neuro, Neuralink, Facebook's Building 8, and then this company Control. This is not a small operation. You know, these people are very serious about this. And Control Labs is a bit more focused on the Jedi application of this. Like you can use your mind to interact with your machine.
Right.
Where Elon has stated they're working on bionic limbs and things like that.
だからそれこそさ、全部スマートホームみたいになってったとしたらさ、本当に何も触らなくても家のものを全部動かせるわけじゃん。
Yeah, I think that would happen like that could happen super quickly.
ちょっと寒いから冷房を消そうとか。
If you combine this technology with other technologies and with AI, and kind of have this contextual operation of it,
本当ジェダイになれるよ。
It's almost there, like right now, and it's not on your brain either.
Right.
Like the worst is the neural implant, right? What's inside your brain.
そう、これもね、だからその脳に電極を刺さなくても、このブレスレットつけるだけでできるっていうのはすごいと思った。
But you can only mess with those neurons. You can't ever get to a neural link.
Right.
From there. But I was reading this interview with this Thomas Reardon, who is one of these original internet guys, you know, these kind of like the Tim Berners-Lee and all these type characters. They're still around and trying and doing cool stuff. But he gave this analogy to explain the difference between the electroencephalograph and the electroencephalography and electromyography. Okay, those are the two.
Okay.
Impossible to say. But the first one is EEG, and that's just measuring the electrical activity through your skull, you know, from your brain. But that's a very generalized way to monitor the brain. There's no specific neuron information there. It's like his analogy was saying, like, using a microphone to record the sound of a crowd of people. It's like an EEG. And the electromyography, which is this muscle fiber-based one, is taking that microphone and listening specifically to one person in that crowd. And you can't do the electromyography for all the neurons in your brain. You'd have to go something like a neural lace, and then even then it would have to extrapolate a lot of things. So that was like an interesting illustration of this, like listening to a crowd versus like a specific neuron. And each neuron fires a specific muscle tissue. And he said this, I don't know if this is true, but he said every neuron in your brain fires a specific muscle tissue. And that's the only thing your brain seems to do. Like everything you do is manifested in some muscular movement. Whether you blink, whether your heart's beating, whether you wash the dishes, all the decisions you've ever made, whether you send a text, everything. All your neurons are just connected to muscle fibers, each one. And so all the neuronal information of your brain is just in each muscle fiber. And moment to moment, the only reason why you think is to produce that signal for each of those muscle tissues. That's it. Moving your eyes. Pumping your blood. There aren't any neurons that send a signal to something else. What's your body made out of? It's just muscle tissue and bone.
That's crazy.
I don't know what the implications of that are. It's intimidating to think about.
But
you don't do anything other than neurons.
We're just
to muscle
moving
fiber.
Muscles.
You know, it's the thinking meat thing, right? This meat's thinking. But the thinking part is just what happens before you inevitably move a muscle. And if you don't move a muscle, nothing happens. Nothing.
こういう話をしたいよね、人とやっぱり。
Not too often. You can really freak yourself out, you know. I've come across ideas where it's just like, wow, this is like I'm flying too close to the sun or something, you know. It's too freaky.
Wow, すごいね.
But yeah, the question for all this stuff always comes down to, and this is what freaks out people that are researching this, but where is consciousness? Is your mind? We just see the neurons and they're just firing to these muscle fibers. Nobody knows what thoughts are. Nobody knows where they are. Nobody knows what consciousness is. Nobody knows how it's possible. Cosmologists don't have a clue about what consciousness is.
Consciousness is illusion.
Like, what is intelligence?
There's no such thing.
Like, what is awareness? You know, when you think about who you really are, like if you try to find yourself, like where's me? Like you sit here, and you're like, where's me? Let me close my eyes and like find myself. Like where am I? Like who am I? Like the person in my mind who is getting to choose what to say or whatever it is. And you are observing yourself, right, is where you end up.
Yeah.
And that version of you, that you, who is observing yourself, which starts to feel like an avatar when you think about it this way.
Right.
Is just awareness. It's just awareness. Like you is like pure awareness. And you don't really, it's hard to put anything else onto like what you truly identify as. I mean, this might just sound completely bananas, maybe it is, but that's where the mystery is.
I mean, for sure
we're right up against it, and all the mysteries come back to the same thing, whether it's artificial intelligence or evolution or the future of the cosmos. It all hinges on the same question: who are you, the person that's watching this whole thing? Like what are you? Like you're the weird, everything else is normal in this universe. It's us that really stand out and is the odd one out, you know, the hairless ape.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, they found some new cave paintings.
Ah, ne.
Yeah. In Borneo.
Palm oil.
40,000 years ago, and they have, it's like a stencil. You know, they always do the hands. The hand is such a classic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And when you're in like kindergarten, you'll like make a little hand print in class or something. And it's like, they were doing it 40,000 years ago. How good is that paint? Right?
Yeah.
I don't get it. That's some high level paint, son. 40,000 years.
It's still paint. Here. Still here.
No.
文字起こしのテキストは iPhone、Mac、iPad、Android のバイリンガルニュース公式アプリからゲットできますので試してみてください。最初の1話目から3話目は無料で、あとは全部のテキスト月額240円で読み放題っていう激安プランもありますので、ぜひチェックお願いします。
お願いします。
Twitter、Instagram、Facebook やってるのでフォローお願いします。あと、bilingualnews.jp 公式サイト、ぜひ行ってみてね。ストアもあります。宇宙トレーナー、いい感じの季節になったので。なんかみんながね、着てるところの写真とかを Twitter とかインスタに上げてくれるとすごい嬉しいよね、見れて。あ、こういうふうに、なんか本当に人が来てるんだ、みたいな、なんか。
That's when it gets kind of real.
そうそう、実感が。
Because everything else is so virtual, ね。Like us talking.The computer recording it or not recording. Like all this, the Twitter,、ね、it's kind of a virtual thing.
そう、写真で見るとね。
It's proof.
そう。あ、本当に人がいるんだ。向こう側にっていう感じがする。
This is actually happening.
そう。で、めっちゃ嬉しいので、写真送ってくれてる皆さん、本当にありがとうございます。
Thank you for everyone that's supported us. I mean,
yes.
It took us forever to open that website.
そうだね永久に言ってたもんね、
yeah.
サイトもうすぐできます、
yeah.
そうだからいろんなものを買ってくれてる皆さん、あとトランスクリプトね、購読してくれてる皆さんも本当にありがとうございます。
ございます。
助かります。終わり。
以上です。
バイ
バイ。